Let's remain standing for the reading of the scripture today, which comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 7, verses 17 through 27, and verses 38 to 45. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. This is the word of God. Please be seated.
Good afternoon. Today I'm going to start today's message by asking a sobering question. Have you ever brought a problem to God? Ask God for help. Pleaded with God to deliver you from trouble, and God was silent. Maybe you're going through the problem right now, a physical sickness for you or a loved one, a financial distress. Maybe it's something at work, dissatisfaction with the job itself, or with someone at work. Or maybe for those of us who are single, unhappiness with our state. Or for those of us in relationships or broken relationships, possibly even in your own marriage, or relationships with an in-law or a friend. And through any of this, it's easy for us to feel distress and pain and loneliness. And you ask God to deliver you. You ask God to help you, to make things right again, and all you hear is silence. And when God is silent, it's easy for us to become skeptical. It's easy for us to become doubtful, and we start to ask God three questions. One, God, are you really in control? Two, God, do you even care about me? And three, God, why are you taking so long? And I hope that by looking at today's story about Lazarus and his two sisters, we can answer these questions and see that one, God is really in control. Two, God is always caring for you. And three, there is a reason why God is silent. But first, let's set up the story. In verse 1, we read, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany." In verse 2, we read, "It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill." Mentioned twice so far that Lazarus is ill. And in verse 3, "So the sister sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.'" Whenever the Bible mentions something multiple times, the Bible is trying to emphasize it. Mentioned three times in the first three verses, Lazarus is ill. In fact, Lazarus is very ill. Lazarus is dying. I don't know if you've ever had the unfortunate experience of having someone close to you die from an illness. Several years ago, my grandmother got very sick and went to the hospital. The doctors said that she was, in fact, very ill. They said that she could undergo surgery, but the risks were so high, so they recommended that it was best that she go home and be put in hospice care. And it was gut-wrenching, painful to see our grandmother slowly die over the next few days. And soon thereafter, she passed away and went to be with God. And we see here in the first three verses that Lazarus is very ill. He's dying. And can you imagine what Martha and Mary are going through? Their hearts are breaking as they see their brother in so much pain. The second thing that we need to see here is that there is a special intimate relationship between Jesus and the three siblings. In verse 2, we read again that Mary is the one who anointed Jesus with expensive ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. This was a very intimate thing that Mary did for Jesus. It was a sign of great affection and love. In verse 3, we read again, "When the sisters send someone to call Jesus, they say, 'Lord, he whom you love, whom you loved, is ill.'" Lazarus is someone whom Jesus loves. And in verse 5, we read now, "Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." John the writer makes it clear in verse 5, Jesus loves these three siblings. And we can probably infer that Jesus and these three siblings have spent much time together in the past and have developed a close relationship. So to set up the stage, we see two things in the first five verses. Lazarus is dying, and Jesus loves Lazarus and his sisters. Now we come to verse 6. We now see something very unusual. We read something which is really odd, and at first glance it seems cold-hearted, and even very callous. We read in verse 6, "So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." Right, we have established Lazarus is ill. Jesus loves Lazarus and his sisters. And when his sisters send someone to Jesus who haven't come right away, Jesus sits still for 2 days. How would you respond if you heard that someone you love is dying? Wouldn't you get up right away and try to see this loved one before he or she died? And if you were Martha and Mary, wouldn't you want Jesus to come right away? But we see here that Jesus hears that Lazarus is ill, and he stays 2 days longer in the place where he is. And how baffling this must have been for Martha and Mary. For all they know at this point, Jesus is silent, right? Jesus is not responding. He is unresponsive. And so often we want our requests answered right away. If there's a problem, we want it resolved right now. If there's pain, we want it relieved right this instant. My friend Eugene is an ER doctor, and about 10 years ago, he was flying from Chicago to Korea. And in the middle of the flight, while Eugene was sleeping, a flight attendant woke up the passengers and asked if there was a doctor on the plane. Eugene said that yes, and in fact, he is an ER doctor, and the flight attendant took Eugene to an area of the plane by the emergency exit where a small group of people were huddled. Eugene looked inside the huddle of people, and he saw a mother holding a one-year-old baby boy, and he was now blue in the face and had lost consciousness. Eugene didn't waste any time. He immediately grabbed the baby, put him down on the ground, and started to do CPR on the baby. And while he was doing this, the captain of the flight came out of the cockpit and asked Eugene if the baby was going to live. Because Eugene found out later that if the baby had died on the plane, the captain wasn't going to stop anywhere. He was going to continue to go to Korea, because if the baby is now dead, there's nothing more that can be done. Eugene doesn't know the answer, so he's doing CPR on the baby. And the first time he does it, the baby is not responsive. The second time he does it, he is able to resuscitate the baby. And Eugene tells the captain that he needs to land the plane right away because the baby needs immediate medical attention. So this plane, which was en route to Korea from Chicago, had to land in Vancouver International Airport. And while the plane was landing on the runway, an ambulance immediately comes to the plane on the runway and takes the baby and mother away as soon as the plane lands. You know what? And that's exactly how I want God to treat my problems. I want God to tackle my problems with the urgency that I feel it deserves. I want God to respond now. But we see that Jesus is delaying. He's waiting. He's not responding right away to Martha and Mary. But I hope that through this Jesus' waiting and silence, we can answer the three questions that we asked before when God is silent. God, are you in control? Second, God, do you still care about me? And three, God, why are you silent? In seeking an answer to the first question of whether God is in control, we see that when Jesus hears that Lazarus is ill, he waits two more days in the same place. You know, I don't know if this applies to you, but this definitely applies to me. When I'm faced with a new situation that I don't know how to deal with, it causes me a lot of stress, I procrastinate, I get overwhelmed, and I freeze up. But Jesus isn't doing that. Jesus isn't overwhelmed and freezing up. No, Jesus is intentionally waiting. He's intentionally sitting for 2 days. See, Jesus is waiting because he knows exactly what's going to happen. Jesus is waiting because he knows that Lazarus is going to die. Jesus is waiting because Jesus, in his power as the Son of God, is going to raise Lazarus from the dead. See, I hope that we can see that Jesus is waiting precisely because Jesus is all-knowing and all-powerful. Jesus is waiting because he is in control. The second question we ask when God is silent is to ask if God still cares, if God still loves me. You know, for us, whenever someone gives us the silent treatment, we think of it as either indifference or cold-heartedness, or the person is angry at me. But we find otherwise. In verse 5, we read that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And in verse 6, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. The word so, in the beginning of verse 6, is an important word, so. So can mean therefore, or it can mean and for this reason. John is showing that there's a connection between verse 5 and verse 6. Jesus loves these three siblings. So, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, Jesus stayed two more days where he was. In other words, when we connect verses 5 and 6, because Jesus loved them, he waited. You see, Jesus waiting is an expression of his love for Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Let's think and pause for a second and think about what's happening to Martha and Mary and Lazarus at this time while Jesus is waiting. During these next 2 days that Jesus is waiting, Lazarus will suffer from his illness and he will die. And his poor two sisters, having watched their brother die, will bury him in the tomb, and then they will mourn his death with others. And while Lazarus is dying, and Mary and Martha are grieving, Jesus is still showing his love. He's showing his love by waiting. Jesus is showing his love even in the midst of their suffering and grief, because Jesus is going to provide something far greater. One of the ways he shows his love by showing something far greater is by strengthening Martha's faith. When Jesus meets Martha, Martha says in verse 21, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Can you sense her frustration with Jesus for not coming sooner? And in verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day, meaning it's going to happen in the distant future. I know that. And in verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, meaning only through Jesus can one be resurrected and have eternal life. Jesus continues, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. What does that mean? It means that those who believe in Jesus as their Savior, yes, they will die a physical death, but then they'll be resurrected and will live forever with God. And in verse 26, Jesus says that everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Meaning that for anyone who believes, once you obtain eternal life, it can never be taken away. And then Jesus asked Martha a very direct and personal question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And Martha solidifies her face in verse 27. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. See, Christ here means anointed deliverer. So Martha is saying, yes, Lord, I believe that you are my deliverer. I believe you are my Savior. Another way that Jesus shows his love by waiting is that he is going to turn their deep sorrow into greater joy. You see, Lazarus was dead for 4 days in the cave. Jesus will call out to him in a very public fashion and say out in a loud voice to come out. And Lazarus, who was dead, will come out alive. Can you imagine the joy that the three siblings shared that day when Lazarus came out of the tomb? Can you imagine every time that they got together, how much they would have cherished being together and how they all owed it to Jesus? So I hope that we will not equate God's silence as indifference or not caring or coldness to you, as God was expressing his love by delaying, by waiting to Martha and Mary's request to come right away. God is also loving you all the time. See, God's love does not go hot or cold. He doesn't become suddenly interested and then coldly indifferent. No, God is loving you constantly, even when he seems silent. The third question we ask when God is silent is why? Why, God? Why are you taking so long? And Jesus answers for us in verse 4. By Jesus waiting and then raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus says, it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. You see, Jesus does all things for the glory of God. And the glory of God is that we may know the Son of God, who is Jesus. Jesus said that he is the resurrection and the life. It is only through him that we are resurrected and obtain eternal life. See, when we sinned, we rejected God, and we were supposed to live a life apart from God in hell. But Jesus, by living the perfect life, became the sacrifice for us. He died in our place and was resurrected, showing that he has the power over death. And if we believe in him, if we believe in Jesus as our Savior, we will have eternal life. So I hope we can see that when God is silent, when God seems unresponsive, we hopefully get some answers. God is indeed in control. God is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. God displayed his power when he raised Lazarus from the dead, and he will display his power when he raises us to live with him forever. Second, we find that God is still loving us. He is caring for us. Everything he does for us is because he loves us, even when he seems silent. And finally, God is doing all things for his glory, and his glory is for us to believe in Jesus as our Savior, to believe in Jesus as our resurrection, and to believe in Jesus as our source for everlasting life. Let's pray.